And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. If you like 46 degree weather and drizzle, this is your day. You're going to have fun. It's going to be great. All right. I've kind of sat here for the last 15 minutes thinking, okay, what do I want to talk about? And I kind of thought about talking about zinc some more. I said, no, I talked about that last week. They're going to be tired of that. So if you have a question that you'd like to ask me about your health, now is the time to call. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If no one wants to call straight away, I want to read this to you. And really, this is just food for thought. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just giving you a different perspective. So much of, you have to decide sometimes what the truth is, right? You do. And you have to decide on your own. This comes from, I think Dr. Langen from Tyler was part of this, year 2015. Let me read this to you. And the title of the article is, Could Statins Lead to Heart Attacks? Does anybody want to have a heart attack? No. No hands are going up. Actually, we're getting a call. This sounds really exciting. Let's go to it. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I'm calling for one of my good friends. He was just diagnosed earlier this week with his good cholesterol is low. What do you recommend? And I'll sit, I'll hang up and listen.
Well, does he like to exercise?
He doesn't exercise very much.
If you exercise, you stimulate all the proper pathways to generate more HDL cholesterol.
Okay.
Do you know anything about his blood markers or lab tests besides the HDL cholesterol?
No, sir, I do not.
Okay. Well, if you want to hang up and listen, I'll give you my take on it, all right?
I'll give him a call and tell him to listen right now as well.
Okay, good deal. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That means I need about 30 seconds worth of filler in order to give him a chance to catch on. I thought it was so funny yesterday. A woman asked me two questions. I told her I would use this today, so she didn't mind. I thought it was funny. But she said, is it possible that I'm not eating enough carbs? And I thought to myself, I've never been posed that question before. Am I failing to eat enough carbohydrates? If you're like me, almost every fast food restaurant, just about the basis of everything they serve is carbohydrates. I mean, it's the bulk of it. It's cheaper to provide. It's lower cost. That same thing, sorry. But what I was going to say is the number one factor, it's not the only factor, but the number one factor that tells your body to make more cholesterol is going to be the hormone insulin. And so the more carbohydrates that we consume, or if we consume too much protein, you're telling your body to make more cholesterol. And of course, most physicians would jump all over that action by saying, you know what, your cholesterol levels are too high. Well, if you'll go backwards and say, okay, doctor, what is causing my body to generate more cholesterol, you know, bad cholesterol, it would be the excessive consumption of carbohydrates. Because the more carbs that you consume, or the more sugar or grain, so if you follow the food pyramid recommended by the USDA, they may recommend 9 to 12 servings of whole grains or 5 to 9 fruits. Well, if you consume that much sugar, you're telling your body you're going to be making extra cholesterol. And the bad cholesterol, it's made from a substance called acetate, which comes from sugar. So, in a roundabout way, your body is going to use sugar to make cholesterol out of. That may not make sense, but that's the way it works. So, here's what we're left with right here. Cholesterol is absolutely one of the most valuable substances made by the human body. Yeah, plants don't make cholesterol, but then again, they don't walk around and they don't think the same way that we do. Yeah, plants may have intelligence, but they do not have souls like we do. We have a soul. And the soul is eternal. And so plants do not require cholesterol. So yes, if you want to consume cholesterol-low foods, that's perfectly fine. But your body requires cholesterol. I mean, one of the highest cholesterol foods on earth is mother's breast milk, but the baby needs that to have normal brain development. That's one of the reasons why drinking alcohol is so hard on a baby's brain. So if you're a nursing mother, you shouldn't be drinking alcohol. If you drink alcohol, you're potentially changing the brain of that young child, and the brain is developing so fast and so rapidly, it's not good. So you should reconsider that. Because there are consequences. Everything we do, there's a consequence for. So, now your friend has had time to tune in. Here's the simple equation that I use. I don't have a calculator in front of me, but let's just say this right here. If you look at a simple lab test called a lipid profile, usually that's going to be total cholesterol. Then it's going to have what's called LDL cholesterol, and that's quite often the one that gets the tag that's, you know, the bad form of cholesterol. Then we have what's called HDL, or high-density lipoprotein. And that's often called the good cholesterol, because studies show that when that gets around 60, let's just say 60, 61, then it plays a very powerful role in removing plaque and old oxidized cholesterol from the lining of the arteries. Wouldn't you say that's very advantageous? Sure, that's everything that you want. And so when HDL cholesterol is around 29 or 30, you probably are not going to have that benefit of enough of the good, friendly cholesterol to remove plaque from the arteries. So when that number hits about 60 or above, within reason, then you start removing plaque at a faster pace than it's building up. Does that make sense? Okay. The next marker on the lab test they look at is called triglycerides. And so one equation that cardiologists have used for years is called the HDL to triglyceride ratio. And so I'm just going to make up a number here, make it make sense, hopefully. Let's say that you have your lab test in front of you and your total triglycerides are right at 200. I know that's high, but I'm just making up a number. Well, what if your HDL cholesterol is just right at 40? Well, you take the triglycerides at 200 and you divide that by 40. Well, I did that for simplicity purposes, but what does that come up with? You come up with a number 5. And so when that ratio is above 4.1, then that's a very strong, powerful equation to show that you have what's called insulin resistance. And insulin resistance means you are headed toward diabetes at a pretty fast pace. Just like I said earlier, who wants to have a heart attack? Nobody does. Who wants to develop diabetes? No one does. You could probably build a case that diabetes might, in fact, be the most expensive disease of all time because it just basically wrecks every other system in the body. From the brain and the nervous system to the muscles to the heart to blood and circulation to joints. If you want to have your body decay rapidly, developing diabetes would be a pretty good way of doing it. So if you're looking at your lipid profile and your triglycerides are at 200 and your good cholesterol, the HDL, which the gentleman just called on behalf of a friend, was too low at 40, then you're headed toward diabetes. Not good. The reason that I'm bringing this up is, if a person says, all right, sell me on this, Dr. Morgan. Okay, here is the benefit. If you start the process of walking every day, let's just say that's all you're willing to do. Let's just say your hips are in good shape, your knees are not in bad shape, your feet and your ankles. Yeah, you might be overweight, and you may get short of breath when you go for a walk. But God has designed the body to adapt to stress, good stress. And so if you go walking every day and you set your mind like flint, I will do this because the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I want to take good care of it. Well, what's the benefit? Well, if you start exercising every day, there's a pretty good chance that your mind's going to be sharper. You're going to get more oxygen and blood flow to the brain. Your circulation is going to improve and adapt to transporting more blood flow and oxygen all over the body. But the other benefits on the lab test are, those triglycerides are going to go down. That means your blood's going to be cleaner. It's going to flow at a higher velocity, which usually is the faster that blood flows, the cleaner it is. But if you want your triglycerides around 200, well, your blood's going to stay pretty dirty. It's going to be sluggish. It's going to be thick, and your heart's going to have to work harder. But exercise is absolutely the number one way to reverse insulin resistance. You want your cells becoming more sensitive to the hormone insulin, so your cells, meaning the mitochondria or those powerhouse engines inside of your cells, where they can actually start converting more fuel and oxygen into energy. That's what you want. See, folks, that's the hallmark of cancer. Cancer cells, they say, hey, we are not going to use oxygen any longer. We're going to use sugar instead of oxygen. And that's a recipe for disaster. I read this the other day. The highest rate of remission of cancers, and of course, I realize I'm kind of going off topic, sort of, just for a short segment here. The people that have the highest rate of cancer going into remission, meaning they turn it around, the cancer disappears and goes away, it spontaneously resolves, are those with low blood sugar. If your blood sugar, let's just say you get a diagnosis of cancer, and your blood sugar is around 110, 111, 120, that's not a good number. But what if, because of steps you take to start walking every day, and you train your body to start converting fuel into energy more efficiently, that's good. Or what if your blood sugar drops down to between 70 and 80? Well, these are the people that have the highest rate of remission when they develop cancer. It goes into remission. That means it stops growing. You reverse it. Isn't that good? So if I had low HDL cholesterol, this is the one thing you're going to have a hard time getting around. If you're not physically active, decide in your mind that you want your body to last an additional 10 years, Lord willing, maybe 15 like King Hezekiah, but you want it to last longer. You'll feel better. You'll have less arthritis. You will definitely reverse the trend toward diabetes and everything that goes along with that. If you want to say obesity and heart disease, sure. Cancer, sure. All those things are true. If you started exercising every single day, you will reverse the low HDL cholesterol. Now, I'm a huge fan of a superfood called cod liver oil. Everybody has their own likes and dislikes, but cod liver oil has been around for so long. If you want your kids to be healthy, then you want cod liver oil. It's a superfood. Give it to your children. Today, we have the technology to where they can add a little bit of rosemary to it, maybe a little bit of vitamin E, maybe a little bit of cinnamon, you know, something to make it taste better, or they could use a little bit of lemon flavoring, natural lemon flavoring, or natural orange flavoring, or berry, and it make it taste good for the kids. I personally favor cod liver oil that's sealed in a gelatin capsule to keep it from turning rancid or getting rotten. So that's been shown to raise HDL cholesterol. Back to cancer for a moment. You really don't have to eat sugar to develop cancer. I know that sounds bizarre. All you have to be stressed, because when you're stressed, your body produces a hormone called cortisol, and it converts your muscle into sugar, and then the liver is overwhelmed with sugar. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Morgan.
Hey, I think I waited too long. If that ringer doesn't go off, I'll have to start over.
Hi, this is KBJS 90.3.
Hang up and we'll start over.
If you would.
Yeah, that was totally my fault. I thought I had my timing down just right. Obviously, I didn't. Yes, sir, call back. The number is 903-586-5257. But if you want your HDL cholesterol to go up, just consider lowering your intake of carbohydrates and sugar and grains. You have to remember, when you eat bread and pasta and lots of it, your body converts that straight into sugar very easily. It's like an atomic bomb of sugar going off in your body. The number here at the station right now is 903-586-5257. I apologize for hanging up on you. That was very rude of me. Please forgive me. Okay, I think we have it now. How are you?
I am doing good. How are you, Dr. Morgan?
Great. Thanks for your call.
Hey, everyone. Kindly welcome. I got a little bug here. I don't know what the heck it is. I've talked to you before. My wife passed away several years ago.
I'm so sorry. Yes, I'm sorry about that.
Hey, the deal is that I'm an old geezer, according to my kids. I'm 82. I'm extremely active.
You know, those are very disrespectful children. I think you should punish them for that.
I'm sorry. They're good kids. They really are. Anyway, I'm in good health. I'm very active. I've got a small little ranch and da 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 da. But have no, well, my last, I take a yearly exam, naturally, by the doctor here.
Good.
And you know, the numbers come back in good shape, and I had a little bout with cancer about 10 years on my back, and everything's still fine, according to the doctor. But about 2 months ago, I was doing some wood. I was cutting a tree down. Well, I wasn't down. The Lord knocked it down, and I was cutting it up. And
I'm trying to think the last time I saw an 82-year-old man cut up a tree. This is, keep going. This is good.
I do a lot more than that. But anyway, about two, maybe weeks after, a week and a half after that, I developed right on below my breastbone, at the top of my breastbone, I guess that's where it's at, and you go down about 2 inches, I have a little spot that sometimes it's maybe a quarter of an inch at the most, and I've done everything from putting some antibiotic ointments on it, which will
cure it. Well, what is it? Is it like a sore or a scab or a wound or something?
It's an open sore.
Oh, okay.
Small open sore. It's highly agitating.
Well, I mean, do you remember scraping it or something when you cut up that tree?
Well, I would pick up the things, the logs I cut for firewood, and I had naturally a shirt on, but, you know, stuff gets down in your shirt.
Oh, yeah. Do you think something maybe rubbed it the wrong way?
I don't know. I don't remember anything.
But it's right there in the center of your breastbone, about 2 inches below your sternal notch where your collarbones are, just from top to bottom. Okay, I'm with you.
And it's pain. It's a little bit of pain. It's a pain in the fanny. I put something on it that has an equal thing. I have castor oil, God's miracle for curing things that I put on it, and it takes the pain away, but it'll scab over, but it'll never heal up. Then about 2 months.
Okay, it's not the cancer that you had previously, was it a skin cancer?
Yes.
What was it, a basal cell or squamous cell?
I cannot tell you.
Well, I mean, that's That is one of the hallmarks of a skin cancer, if you have a wound that just will not heal up and it won't go away. So I realize I cannot diagnose you over the radio, but can I tell you what I read this week, though?
Yes. Give me some of your advice.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is free. But one of the articles was about some of nature's most powerful antibiotics, and of course, they didn't say in the article that God is the originator of these, divine remedies, but I will and you will. But one of the ones that they really, really ranted and raved about was the use of Manuka honey.
Hmm.
And they were just saying for a very, very difficult, and you know, there's even companies now, they make bandages and Band-Aids that are already kind of, I started to use the word impregnated, that may not be the right word, but where the bandage itself is coated with the Manuka honey, and you just lay it over the area that will not heal. So whether it was a scrape from barbed wire, or you pick up an oak tree limb, and there's like a little stob that jabs you in the chest and breaks the skin and it won't heal. But Manuka honey, now I'm not telling you this is a coverall, but honey has been used for literally thousands of years for stubborn wounds that just will not heal. And even recently they've shown, you've heard in the news that there are some bugs and bacteria that are just resistant to almost every antibiotic known to man, and it's like the bane of nursing homes and hospitals, and they can't get these wounds well. But this little wound right here is directly right over your thymus gland. And that's, I don't know that I'm right about that, but it sounds like it to me. Right there where your manubrium joins the main body of the sternum, that's 2 inches below your sternal notch.
I would say you're right.
Well, I'm just guessing. Could be right. But that's over the thymus gland, and that's the largest gland of the immune system. I mean, even if I don't get this right today, I know what I would do. You are one impressive 82-year-old man. You're my hero. I want to be just like you, cutting up trees when I'm 82. I just have a few more years to get to 82, even though there are some people that think I'm too old. But anyway, I don't think I am. But if you tried taking thymus gland extract, I can't even tell you how many weird, bizarre, unusual aspects of the body that just would never heal, that once I gave him thymus extract, all of a sudden, lo and behold, they healed.
Hmm. Well, funny you should say that, because I bought a bottle of that.
Oh, well, not funny. You're right on track, man. I'll give you A+. Now, let me tell you something else that I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's a Thymus Plus cap from a, I think it's a pretty good manufacturer.
Yeah, but just take it. Take it and take lots of it. You got nothing to lose. It's not going to hurt you at all. This morning, before I went on the air, I was reading about a type of a blood pressure-lowering drug called an ACE inhibitor.
Uh-huh.
And I forget the name of the medication. I'll go back and look it up. But they were saying when somebody's taking a blood pressure drug with a thiazide diuretic, you know what a diuretic is. It's like a water pill. Yeah. It says when you take that, they're showing now this initiates cancer of the skin. Yeah. And they're saying the reason why they think it initiates skin cancer is because it depletes the body of zinc. Well, if I go backwards, I don't want to make this a panacea conversation, but I'm telling you, man, zinc is the basis of your immune system being able to rise to the occasion and tackle just about anything that occurs on the skin. If you want your skin to be in good working order, you're going to have zinc to do that.
I'm doing that.
Oh, good. Well, don't stop. The only thing that you could have a problem with is if you overdid zinc, like if you took 100 milligrams a day for a year. That would be a little bit much. But going backwards, this article that I read about Manuka honey, they're talking about people that have major ulcers on the bottom of their feet that just will not heal by the wound. You know, have you ever heard of people going to the wound care center because they just can't close a sore or a wound and they need...
When I was younger, I heard it.
Yeah, well, it's real common. And even if you just tried making sure that you continue with the zinc, put the Manuka honey, just take your butter knife and spoon it right on there. I'm joking. Mm. This is not so high tech we can't figure it out. If you were to take a large Band-Aid and just put honey on it and cover it, if it heals, great, you're in good shape. If it doesn't, I think you probably need to go to a doctor and just make sure it's not something like a basal cell or squamous cell carcinoma or something like that.
Okay.
But then again, if it were, there is a substance that has exactly a 100% cure rate for skin cancer. Well, it's called Curaderm. You ever heard that before?
No.
Well, it's made from eggplants. They take a little bit of aspirin. I think it's methyl salicylate with these eggplant alkaloids. Alkaloids is just a chemical they extract from eggplants, and when you rub that on the cancer, it has this unique ability of leaving all your normal healthy cells alone, but it causes death to any cancer cells, like a squamous cell or basal cell carcinoma. But that product is called Curaderm, and it's not cheap. I mean, I looked on the website probably months ago when I still had access to a computer, and it was $105 to $120 a tube. But you know what? It has 100% cure rate for skin cancers. It eats up the toxic debris. Yeah.
Huh.
So that's an idea. Also, the other thing that I think of. I know this is going to sound bizarre and crazy, but you don't mind me talking, do you?
No.
Okay,
no,
good. Yeah. Thank you. Well, you're my... Thanks for being generous with me. If I ever have a weird skin condition that won't go away, I think about two extracts, and they're animal-based extracts. And I realize not everybody digs animal products. Some people, they think about, I don't want the animal to suffer or to be harmed. I respect that, but I personally do not have a problem with eating eggs or fish or beef. I don't. Mm-hmm. But that's my deal.
Mm-hmm.
Had I been raised differently by maybe more of a vegan, vegetarian lifestyle, maybe I'd see that differently, and I'm okay with that. So I can see it from both angles, but the two extracts that I think of the most when you just cannot get the body to heal is I think about spleen extracts and thymus extracts. And the spleen extract usually is a byproduct of harvesting, you know, the organs from a cow when they go to the processing facility.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes it's just called desiccated spleen extract or desiccated thymus extract. But I just don't see how you can go wrong by taking those, because even if somebody walked in my door and they said, Dr. Morgan, I've got cancer, it's not looking good, none of the drugs are working, I need help, I want to live, and you know, how much... I just totally respect somebody that says, I today am choosing life. I want to live. I want a different direction. So a lot of times that's what I'll do is I'll give them spleen and thymus extract. As a matter of fact, I talked to a gentleman yesterday just briefly, and I'm not saying this is the running joke, but he was probably pronounced not able to get over his cancer. That was like 9 years ago. But he's still going strong, and he told me yesterday, he said, you know what, I think I have two or three more years before the cancer overtakes me. But, you know, I'm thinking, well, wouldn't this be funny if, you know, you just kept living and living and living? But he's taking spleen and thymus extracts all the time. And that's the basis. It's the largest gland of the immune system, and the spleen is the largest filter of the immune system. I mean, how is it possible that your thymus could work too good or your spleen could be too efficient at filtering the immune system? I just don't see that. I mean, we're living in a toxic world, so taking spleen and thymus extracts.
Do you have any order on these? They're all sound wonderful. Do you got a 1, 2, 3 that order on them? Or?
Well, no. Yeah, just like I said, if you said, you know what, I'm going to just try taking thymus extract from a calf and spleen extract from a calf and see how that helps me. But what I mentioned earlier about the Manuka honey, I mean, that is becoming more and more mainstream media because people are more into taking care of themselves in non-toxic ways. And we're just talking about putting Manuka honey on something that won't heal, just a topical covering. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, you could get on Amazon.com today. That's probably a website you've never heard of because it's just like a little small mom-and-pop website.
I've heard of it, and I don't like it. I don't agree with what they do.
Oh, no, and that's perfectly fine. You'll get no judgment from me on your comments. But you could click on Manuka Honey Band-Aids, and you could buy them all day long if you want. And all
I've
you
heard
do
of
is
those
just,
Band-Aids.
Yeah, exactly.
Use them.
Yeah, you see there? Yeah, how about that? They need to actually have good blood flow to their legs so they don't pass out when they're pulling 5Gs.
Some of those boys stay up there for 3 days.
Do they go to the bathroom? I'm joking.
Well, they have an arrangement. Let me just put it that way.
They have an arrangement. Oh, you're so tactical. I love the way you talk. But what I would do is I'd have you consider those, but if you don't see a good productive change, you didn't have any radiation in that area, did you?
No, I live in the White Oak. I live 4.5 miles out of Winsboro, so I'm in the country. I love it.
Can I get your GPS coordinates so I can come visit you later today?
Sure.
It's off the radar, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, okay. It is.
Well, I appreciate your phone call, and I hope your body responds, and
okay.
It heals.
I appreciate your advice.
Yeah, let me know what happens, please.
Heck, I've listened to you for, I can't remember when I started.
Well, I appreciate you very much, and I love you, man.
Love you, too.
Have a good day, buddy.
You, too. Bye-bye.
You know what? I probably don't tell people enough I love them, but here lately I have told several people that I love them, and I really have meant that. Sometimes that button's hard to push. I've got you now. Welcome to Health Essentials.
Yes, I was calling this morning about my boss. She has experienced problems with gout and was recently prescribed a prescription, and now she's having issues. It's almost like flu-like issues, but her mouth is so dry.
Oh, yeah, man, that would be a horrible feeling, wouldn't it?
Well, she said it's like burlap, but now they feel like her saliva glands are not working. They're not producing.
Is that from taking the Alpurinol?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
and now they've switched from that to Euloric.
Oh, yeah. I'm not trying to laugh like this is funny, but none of those drugs address the root cause of the problem. They just don't. Do you know where her people come from? Is she Filipino or is she?
Nope, she's Lebanese.
Lebanese, okay.
Uh huh.
All right.
And she does have issues with arthritis, but this gout came on quite suddenly, and you know, she started taking the medication, and that was the only new thing that she has been taking. And suddenly it was like she had, we thought at first she had the flu, but now we're starting to think that it's that medication.
Well, she definitely had flu-like symptoms from the medication, didn't she?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That would be really
great. I
mean,
her face has swollen up. It's like,
well,
one day she was fine, and the next day she woke up, and her glands in her neck are swollen.
Oh, that's just horrible. Horrible.
Yes, yes.
Oh, well, aren't you just the best employee and friend of all time calling on her behalf? I'm giving you an A-plus on your report card today.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, let me just give you a little take on this, and you help me flesh it out and help me make sense of it, okay?
Okay.
Okay. The most sophisticated, intricate, detailed, complex filters in the body are called the kidneys. And the kidneys either remove uric acid or they don't. If they can remove it, then you'll never have gout. But if they fail to remove uric acid, then you're going to have gout. So I'm going to suggest that her kidneys need a little bit of help.
Okay.
Number two. The highest foods in uric acid are going to be black tea, or if you want to call it orange pekoe tea, or if you want to say it's the tea from Chick-fil-A or tea from McDonald's or tea from a restaurant. Does she drink black tea?
No, but she drinks a lot of I think it's Lipton green tea, but it's, you know, that it's stuff in the bottle.
And that has a moderate amount of uric acid. And so I'm not trying to be the mean, evil ogre and tell her how to run her life, but she needs to switch to hibiscus tea. Hibiscus tea will actually start healing the kidneys and cleaning them, or dandelion tea. But she's going to have to give up anything that comes from the plant called Camellia sinensis. That's the scientific name for the tea bush plant. That's what they threw over the boats in the Boston Tea Party. Anyway, so if she will be willing to give up tea, but there's one natural remedy. Actually, there's a bunch of them that work. I'll tell you what works. It's called celery or celery seed extract. Celery seed. Oh, my goodness. If I could just have one substance to use for gout, it would be that.
Okay. Does that come like in a pill?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, you can get it in a liquid, you can get it in tablet, you can get a capsule. And to me, it's just about the delivery system. So if swallowing a capsule is easy, that's what I would go with. Just make it easy on her. But celery seed extract, now there's lots of information that demonstrate tart cherries are very effective at helping the kidneys, you know, flush out all this uric acid that builds up. Because if she didn't flush out the uric acid, it's only going to build up in her joints and her tissues. And if you look at that stuff under a microscope, you magnify that stuff 1,000 times, it looks like shards of glass. That means time she... Well, how would you like to walk into a cave and have sharp glass prick you at every turn when you're walking barefoot? Well, you wouldn't like that. But that's this poor woman suffering because her kidneys are failing to do that. Now, if it were me, this is only what I'm telling her to do. If she were to start drinking more water instead of the Lipton green tea, that would be a bonus. Now, I'm not going to get anybody else to agree with me on this from the medical profession, but I don't care. My allegiance is to you and your boss, so I'm just telling you what works. She needs to start taking lemon, like from a real lemon, not from the bottle of the, you know, the lemon juice that has lots of, you know, preservatives in it, like benzoic acid. If she takes the juice of a lemon and just squeezes it in a glass of water and drinks lemon water once a day, I can tell you what the lemon juice will start doing. It'll start dissolving those uric acid crystals. And that's the next thing. We got to dissolve those crystals that are forming in her joints and get rid of them. And so the lemon water will help over time if you're consistent.
And maybe a glass of lemon water a day?
Oh, yeah. You can't go wrong. Even for very, very bad cases, I'll have a person just rub lemon juice over the inflamed joint. I'm just going to say a joint, like the knee. Say her knee is swollen the size of a basketball. I'd probably rub lemon juice directly on it to act as a solvent. Solvents dissolve and they break things down. Water's a pretty good solvent, but she's just got to give up the tea.
Okay.
Drink herbal tea like either dandelion or hibiscus. You can't go wrong with hibiscus tea. Hibiscus tea is very beneficial to helping the kidneys. And that's one lesson I've learned over the last 28 and a half years. You cannot outlive the kidneys. The kidneys are going to have to be in great working order. But her kidneys are failing to remove and process uric acid and clean the blood of it. So the food that's the highest in uric acid is going to be anything related to pork. So bacon, sausage, pork chops, pulled pork, you name it. You know what the woman? You know what the woman told me yesterday?
What?
I really laughed. I thought it was funny. She said, "I think bacon must taste like what manna tasted like to the children of Israel."
Absolutely.
Of course, if I took a survey, I may have a lot of people go, "You know what? I think that's right. Bacon may taste like manna." No, bacon doesn't have any coriander. But she there's just no way she can eat bacon or pork. She can't.
Okay. Well, we will start with the lemon water and the celery seed and see if we can get her well.
Hey, you can go to the health food store today. Does she live in Tyler?
Yes, she does live in Tyler. She's 89, and
didn't tell me that to begin with? Are you kidding? She's already outlived all our listeners. Well, and you know what? And the truth is, and I'm not trying to make a joke, but her kidneys are weak at 89, and so she needs a little bit of baking soda every day. Maybe a quarter of a teaspoon of baking soda in a glass of water. That will help preserve her kidneys, and I'm convinced more so now than when we started, this is probably a kidney issue. So just give her like a quarter teaspoon of baking soda in a glass of water. Have her drink it down.
Okay.
That will help her kidneys, and have her really go on a low-starch vegetable diet. So she probably likes kale and Brussels sprouts and cauliflower and broccoli.
Actually, she does like vegetables. So,
oh, yay. So your boss is 89. Now, I'm being overly personal here, but where does she work? Just be vague.
Oh, well, she has children that work.
Oh, you mean she bosses you around. No, I'm joking. Oh, that's just great. I can't wait to... But, you know, she could go to, like, Natural Grocer or Drug Emporium today or Fresh and just get a small bottle of tart cherry juice and just drink a shot of that every day. That will help dissolve... Cherries are fabulous for dissolving gall crystals.
Okay. Tart cherry.
What a horrible diet is to go to the store and buy cherries and eat them and go, "This is my medicine."
Yes.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad you called today. You made my day.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Have a good day. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, there's a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. John Paul told me exactly what time the program ends today, and there's no clock up. Somebody switched the screen, so I'll do the best I can. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Good. I called because recently I went to the doctor, and I have my blood pressure was really high, and it's been like consistently high. But this time I was informed that it was like dangerously high, and I was like, really? I feel really good, but I went only because I was having like unusual headaches.
Yeah.
And I was concerned about that. And so they put me on blood pressure medicine, and one of the prescriptions I've gotten filled, but the other one I'm just really not feeling comfortable with, and I want to ask her opinion about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Benazepril.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? And
I think it's a calcium channel blocker.
And I'm just like, what else can I do that would be... I just don't feel comfortable taking
There used to be a time that the food that we would eat that was grown in the soil or the earth was just very, very rich in magnesium. But I can tell you right now, those days are over. Even if I look at the U.S. Department of Agriculture studies on magnesium levels from the 1920s, it's just abysmal. That's one of the reasons why people go to the store and they buy bags of Epsom salt, which is magnesium sulfate. And they sprinkle it around their tomatoes, or they may sprinkle it around their carrots just to help them grow, because plants have got to have magnesium. Mm-hmm. To me, I don't think this is rocket science. If you take and sprinkle it on your yard, guess what the St. Augustine or the Bermuda is going to do? It's going to be greener, because magnesium is at the very center of a chlorophyll molecule. So they're giving you a drug to act as a calcium channel blocker, but in reality, it may be just telling you that you have a very significant magnesium deficiency or magnesium insufficiency. Now, I am not trying to make a joke by saying this, but probably two very common signs of a magnesium deficiency is a person's just very ticklish. Of course, you're not ticklish, are you?
I'm very ticklish.
Oh, okay. And the other thing is when women like to eat chocolate, that's like a classic magnesium deficiency.
Yeah.
You don't even like, you're not ticklish and you don't like chocolate.
Oh my gosh, I have Kisses in my purse right now.
Well, oh, Kisses, you mean like the regular milk chocolate ones?
Yeah.
Okay, well, no, and thanks for being real honest about that. I can tell you're very open. So once you consider of trying to fill your body or meet your body's requirements for magnesium just by taking a magnesium supplement for a while.
Magnesium supplement.
Just so we can consistently get more magnesium, and so you've got magnesium citrate, magnesium malate, magnesium glycinate, magnesium gluconate, magnesium lactate. Just start taking some magnesium. I know that's an oversimplification, but probably the two foods that have the highest amount of magnesium are going to be wheat germ. Uh-huh. Have you ever heard of somebody making like wheat bran muffins or something like that? That would be magnesium. And the other one is going to be kelp and seaweed. But I have not been successful at getting people to eat seaweed every day.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, but that would be an idea right there. But if you start just meeting your body's requirements for magnesium, never underestimate what your body can do if you give it the if you just give it what it needs to function properly. So start giving yourself magnesium. The other thing is, and I'm not picking on you, I'm just telling you how it works.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that are found in fast food restaurants that will suck magnesium out of you faster than what you can put it in you. It's called a carbonated beverage, like a soft drink.
Right. And you know, but ever since I went to the doctor, I have really changed my whole lifestyle. I mean, I'm like, you were just talking about bacon. I'm just like, no, I'm not eating any more bacon. The salt. I'm not a big soda drinker anyway. I drink water a lot of times, but occasionally I'm like, I've got to have some Sprite, you know. But yeah,
I'm not worried if you do that once a week. That doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would hate you to be in such poor working order that one Sprite a week would put you in the grave 6 feet under. That's just ridiculous.
No. Right.
The other thing that I want you to consider is when I have someone come to see me and there's a major issue with blood pressure, I always think about giving them zinc.
Okay. Is this going to be in a multivitamin?
Can I tell you how I tend to view these things?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I think it's great that you brought up the idea of a multiple vitamin, and I'm all for that, but I think that when you have a very specific issue, like, you know what, I wasn't having headaches, and all of a sudden now, you know, my body's warning me, and so you're real smart about this. I mean, you went to the doctor and said, you know what, okay, I get it, my blood pressure is dangerously high. Now I think I know why I was having those headaches. That was my body's way of telling me that I need to make some changes. But I would rather probably specifically take a little bit more than what the multiple vitamin's fine. But if it were me, I would probably supplement with about 50 milligrams of zinc a day.
Okay, multivitamin.
Several hundred million. No, I'm joking about that. Several hundred milligrams of magnesium in addition to the multiple vitamin. But the other things that I would really think about, I would think about, there's an herb called hawthorn. Have you ever heard of that before?
No, sir.
Hawthorn, I drove by a cemetery a few months ago, and it said Hawthorn Family Cemetery. Mm-hmm. Don't even remember where I read it, but it's hawthorn.
Okay.
That is hands down one of the greatest herbal remedies of all time when you're trying to correct blood pressure issues. I don't want to make it a panacea, but it's phenomenal.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
It is called what now? Hawthorn what?
Yeah, hawthorn. No, it is not called Hawthorn Cemetery. I don't know. You could go to every health food store and say, I need Hawthorn Cemetery. It won't be there.
No, I wouldn't even buy
it.
No,
I'm joking. Sorry, bad joke. But it's an herb, a natural herb called hawthorn.
Okay.
And I think that you will be very, very pleased. And the other thing that I would tell you is we've got to lower insulin levels to get blood pressure to go down. Because the higher the insulin levels, so if you go to the doctor and they do lab work, yes, mm-hmm. they can tell you that your blood pressure's up, but if they do a test called a lipid profile, what if your triglycerides are above the number 100? Well, what if they're 200? Well, the number one predictor of a person is going to have a stroke. Not the only one, obviously, but, you know, is having a headache that lasts for 3 days. That's like a hallmark of a stroke that's about to occur. But the other one is triglycerides above 150.
Mm.
And so we want your triglycerides to go down. So if you set your mind that you're going to start drinking, and you know what I mentioned to the caller earlier, to the lady, about her 89-year-old boss?
Right.
Thinking, yeah, I could go to work for her and learn a lot. But the 89-year-old boss, I recommended instead of drinking that green Lipton bottled tea that we switched to hibiscus tea.
Mm-hmm.
And you may never have heard this before, but in a recent study, they compared blood pressure-lowering drugs against 3 cups of hibiscus tea a day. And guess who won? It was a dead even. Hibiscus tea worked every bit as well as blood pressure medications, but guess what? There are no toxic side effects to taking hibiscus tea.
Wow.
I'm going to catch a flight to Hawaii later this afternoon, mm-hmm. but tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'm going to look at hibiscus flowers. They're beautiful. If you started drinking 3 cups of hibiscus tea a day, and of course, mm-hmm. you know what you have to do is you have to decide what you want to do. Do you want to do this in such a way that you make sure that your body is going to last a long time and you can be fruitful and productive and you can be in service to our Heavenly God and Father and you can feel great and your mind can be clear? But the high blood pressure, I mean, that's got to come to a screeching halt. We got to turn that around right. Where you have normal blood pressure.
Yes, sir. So can I just recap? So you said magnesium.
Sure.
You said magnesium, a zinc supplement, hibiscus tea, and hawthorn.
Yes, ma'am.
Correct?
And you know what I'm really, really tempted to add to it is cod liver oil.
Is what?
Cod liver oil.
Okay. And I've heard you speak of that before.
But you've got to lower the amount of grains and starches and carbohydrates that you eat. You just have
to. Like potatoes.
Yeah, well, I didn't say you couldn't have potatoes. You can have potatoes once a week. But right now, you're trying to create an environment where you just scrub the arteries clean and you remove excess weight and excess fluid.
Mm-hmm.
If you said, you know what, I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on low-starch vegetables like salads and greens and stuff like that. Ate those for 2 weeks and you shed 9 pounds, well, a lot of that's going to be extra fluid that you're holding on to.
Okay.
And so you do have extra fluid that you want to let go of, right?
Yes, sir, but I'm not... Yeah, I mean, I do, obviously, but if you look at me, I don't look like I'm overweight.
No, I believe you.
But, yeah, I mean, obviously, yes, in certain parts of my body. That's correct.
Gotcha. And believe me, I'm not trying to make you feel bad.
Oh, you're not. No, you're not at all.
Okay, good. So, but there is a situation. So what you don't want is you don't want this to sneak up on you where your arteries are becoming stiffer and harder, so... The number one way to get the arteries to become stiff, and so your heart has to beat with extra force, thus the blood pressure goes up, is insulin. So there's only two ways to make insulin go up. You either eat sugar or grains or starches, or you're highly stressed out. Because when you're stressed, your body releases the hormone called cortisol, and cortisol converts your muscle into sugar. You know, actually, you don't even have to eat sugar to have high blood pressure. You just have to have stress.
Right.
You probably don't have a lot of stress, do you?
Well, I'm eliminating it now, and I'm really turning things around in that area because I see that I can't change it anyway. I can't change the situation, so
no,
I'm really eliminating things.
No, yeah. You can't control other people at all. They can do and say and have actions, but you have no control over their choices, do you?
Oh, those are mine. Yes, sir. You're right.
Only yours.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know what the most beautiful thing about this is? Every time that we have stress, it's just a beautiful opportunity to trust in God and cry out to Him.
That's what I'm doing now with my daughter.
Oh, I'm so proud
of
you.
I'm trying to let go. I really am.
Well, God bless you. And I
pray that He... Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
What was the verse that I read? Judy sent it to me this week. I think it was Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. And I'm telling you, it's beautiful.
Can I give you
a loose quote, and please forgive me, I may not quote it properly, but it says, "The Lord longs to be generous to you and to be gracious to you for those that wait upon Him." And I think a different version said, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. And I thought, I like that one too. And the word, the Lord longs to be generous and gracious to you. Oh, he's right there. He wants to be gracious to you. I love that. Very comforting.
Thank you so much. And just be in prayer for my daughter. And I appreciate all of your wisdom and your advice.
Well, can I ask you specifically, what is the issue that your daughter's dealing with, just in vague generality?
Well, just to be real brief, she's 21, so she knows it all.
I thought I was the only parent that ever experienced things like that.
No.
No?
And she's making decisions that go against everything that she was brought up to, that everything that she was raised to believe, and just it was modeled for her, and I'm just like, wow.
You know, one thing that comes to my mind, and I'm not telling you this is the right way to do it, but throughout the whole Old Testament of the Bible, there's always the description that God is the husband and Israel is the bride. And
yes,
so
sir.
It doesn't matter which book of the Bible you turn to. You could turn to the book of Micah. Mm-hmm. And the Lord says, I hate divorce. And they said, well, how have we committed adultery against you? Because you have gone after false gods and not worshiped me, the true living God. And then in the book of Hosea, oh my goodness, that may be the most powerful book of all time, because it says, Hosea, I want you to go marry a prostitute. Her name is Gomer. And I want you to have children with her. And I think the first son's name was Jezreel. And there's a meaning behind that. And he has another son by her. And he has a daughter. But she decides she wants to depart this covenant relationship and go off and be adulterous. But in the real world, all of us have been adulterous toward the living God. And we all have to come to our senses and return back to the living water, don't we?
Yes, sir.
But in that book, you know what stands out in my mind? There is a... I think it's a prayer, and if I've got that wrong, forgive me, but there is a prayer that a hedge of thorns be placed around the adulterous wife. I'm not talking about your daughter here, but sometimes I think that's a good prayer, that we put a hedge of thorns around, pray a hedge of thorns around a person, that anyone that would try to influence them, like a college professor or a bad friend or somebody else, when they try to influence your daughter in a negative way, that they be pricked severely by those sharp thorns.
But
if you haven't read Hosea chapter 2, it's quite interesting. And I think also there is the mention of, I will put a wall in front of her that she will not be able to find this way that she's searching for, and that way she'll return to me. And so you're just like me. You want your son or your daughter to make really good decisions, and sometimes the only thing that we can pray is, God, what is your will for this child?
Right.
And because God knows.
And how do I respond to this? That's the thing.
Oh yeah.
How do I respond to this without going outside of, you know, God's will? My phone may die on me.
Thank you for your patience with me, and God bless you today. I'll be praying after the program ends. I'm gonna say a prayer for you and your daughter.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr.
You're
Morgan.
Welcome. Thank you. Bye bye. I am convinced that if somebody offers a prayer on your behalf, that's one of the greatest blessings of all time. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. Praise God that he lets us pray to him and make our requests known to him, and we can cry out to him for help. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. Oh, my gosh. I'm so grateful to talk with you.
You know, I'm more grateful that you called.
Thank you.
Way to go. I'm glad you got in.
Yes, sir. Listen, you touched something, cholesterol. I have a report in front of me.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay, the cholesterol total was 177.
Okay.
The triglycerides direct were 134.
Yeah.
The total HDL-C direct was 39 with an L beside it.
Well, that would be L for low.
Is that good?
Well, and here's what I want to do, and I'm going to, do you mind if I reach across the control room and grab Randy Featherston's calculator?
Listen, you grab anything you need.
Here we go. All right, we're going to do it here. All right, we're going to take the number 134, that's your triglycerides, and we're going to divide that by your HDL cholesterol, which was low, 39, and we come up with a number 3.43. That's not bad, but there's room for improvement. Now, what else was on the test? Did they have one called VLDL?
No, they had LDL, okay, the calculated was 111, I believe I gave you that, okay. And the HDL percent was 22.
Okay. They said HDL percent, 22?
Yes.
Okay. Well, these numbers in and of themselves are not bad, but let me just give you a suggestion. Of course, I'm only giving you ideas. That one marker called triglycerides, or TRIGLY, or, you know, whatever, at 134.
Yes.
Do you know whether or not that when you showed up to the lab or the doctor's office to have this blood test done, was it done fasting? Did they tell you don't eat anything overnight, show up without food?
It was fasting.
Okay. Is there any chance that you like the taste of carbohydrates, like potatoes and bread?
Uh-huh.
Ma'am, I'm being serious, and you're laughing and mocking me. No, I'm joking. Of course, everybody does. You may be eating a little bit more carbohydrates than what you should. And what that does is when your triglycerides go up above 100, your blood starts becoming a little bit thicker. But
okay.
Cod liver oil is something that can help that. And I'm convinced that zinc and magnesium can help that too. So in a roundabout way, this might be a clue that your body needs to supplement with a little bit of zinc, a little bit of cod liver oil, and maybe a little bit of magnesium, which I would find hard to believe that could harm you. It can only help you.
Okay, I am taking calcium, magnesium, zinc with D3 in it. Let's see, it says I think the magnesium was a little, it's 500 milligrams of magnesium. The zinc is 10. And from what I was listening to before, that's not enough. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, if you start getting closer to maybe 40 to 50 milligrams of zinc total in your diet or supplements, that's when the good things start to happen. But I am not a really big fan of women taking calcium in that format because I think it makes you more stiff. But between the vitamin D3, one supplement that I want you to prayerfully, thoughtfully consider and just evaluate is called vitamin K2.
I'm taking that.
I knew I was talking to a genius. I knew it when you called. Good call.
It's only because of you. I'm taking D3 with K2.
Oh, good. Good job. And see, one of the main roles of vitamin D is to make sure that you can completely concentrate calcium in the blood. And if you're taking calcium on top of that, I think that can be problematic. But if you're taking K2, K2 makes sure the calcium doesn't form plaque in your arteries.
Yeah.
It gets to the bones and the teeth where they belong.
Well, okay, that is so good. You know, I listen to you faithfully, but do I need to cut back on the calcium supplement?
That, it concerns me. Can I tell you, I had a strange dream last night, and I don't ever share my dreams with anybody, but I just want to share them with you. Can I?
Yes, of course.
In this dream, I picked up this little bitty 10-month-old baby that I have, and she smiles, and her two front teeth are as big as, you know, the teeth on a cow. They were huge. And I started bursting out laughing in my dream, and then I woke up, and I realized, well, that was strange. Of course, I was afraid she might bite me. But anyway, maybe she was teething. But no, she had huge two front teeth. And I thought, what are those teeth doing on the baby that size anyway? I just wasted your time.
No, you did not. So do I cut out the calcium?
That is the one that I'm so suspicious of because one of the articles that I read this morning, where they were saying what is one of the number one things that initiates the formation of cancer in the body, and it was taking extra calcium. And I thought, oh my goodness. And so I'm not a fan of supplemental calcium unless it's like a raw calcium to repair osteoporosis or osteopenia or a broken bone or from a broken rib. That I've seen good results with, but as far as women taking calcium every single day, I am really suspicious that we might be causing more harm than good. Now, if you eat salmon and you eat kale or you eat broccoli, which is low with calcium, that's not a problem at all. It's the supplemental calcium that comes from like limestone quarries. That's what I'm concerned about. And unfortunately, I think we're just about out of time. So do you mind calling me next week and let me help you some more?
Oh, yes. And I'm a cancer survivor, ovarian cancer 12 years ago.
Oh, well, I'm so glad that you have survived that. But supplemental calcium, that's a concern to me.
Okay, well, I will stop that. I will call back next week.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to take up your conversation next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye.